from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Happy Monday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. It's been a great Monday so far. Lots of people interacting with us on our text line. You can join the group at 98973. We got a lot of people with a lot of reaction to our first topics in the first hour, and I'm sure it's not going to be any different this hour.
No, and it's probably not going to be any different. Coming up at 10:33, you guys remember or recall the no sit, no lie law that happened up in Everett? Well, wait till you find out something that happened right after that. You'll be amazed at this. But right now, let's get to it. The top three things that you need to know right now.
Number one.
And later today, the governor could announce that up to a dozen counties around our state will be rolling back to phase two this week. And there are some, including King County Councilmember Reagan Dunn, who believe that the governor is using old line thinking on how to handle this fourth wave of COVID. He believes that with more than enough vaccines available, Reagan Dunn says we should not be rolling back.
The public health leadership, you know, they are doctors, right? They are not economists, and they're making recommendations based on risk assessments related to individual health of people who aren't yet vaccinated. My job is to think more broadly about jobs, the economy.
And he is encouraging people to get vaccinated, but points out that if you don't want to, that is at your risk. But again, he says that we shouldn't make businesses suffer.
Okay, so instead of sounding like a broken record, because you guys have all heard me say, what can I say different this time? I'll just keep it simple. I don't support rolling back to phase two and or one. I do support those out there getting vaccinated. I repeat, I don't support the rollbacks, but I do support vaccinations.
I will repeat that I wish we didn't have to do any kind of rollback because it is unfair to businesses, small businesses that are already suffering. But I'm more upset that there are still people, and we have found that out in the past couple of weeks, just people I know personally. And I said at least four. Now I have five that I know of who have become sick with COVID, and in almost all the cases, with the exception of one, they were all people who said, I don't believe in the vaccine, or I'm not going to get it right now, and they also made choices that put them at higher risk. And then the one person who got sick through no fault of their own is because of other people's behavior. So we did open up our text line, and well, it's always open, but a lot of people were flooding it, and a lot of people agree with you because, and I know I'm taking the unpopular position. I know that, saying it, at least because, but I'm also saying it because I know that these decisions are made by people who have way more knowledge than I do in this situation. And I also personally know people who don't take it seriously. And in fact, I went to an event where I felt guilty because I saw, even though I'm, again, fully vaccinated, that doesn't mean I'm without any risk, but I am, you know, much lower risk. And there were people at an event more than is recommended who were maskless. So I know it's happening. And I just wanted to share some of the texts that we're getting.
Okay. Oh,
so, yeah, so 425 said, gee, how can you be less mad at the anti-vaxxers when their behavior is the cause of the rollback? But again, I got a lot of people agreeing with you. 360 says, I am sick and tired of all this. My mental status cannot take this up and down and left and right. I need normal before I fall apart. And by the way, yes, I'm fully vaccinated. I 100% agree with those sentiments. I mean, as far as being sick and tired of it, we're all sick and tired of it.
You know, I want to answer that question that was asked. And they said, gee, how can you be less mad at anti-vaxxers than the rolling back of the phases? Well, it's very simple. There's always been anti-vaxxers. There's always been someone anti-authority, anti-science. And they're going to be there no matter what. No matter where we are with COVID, there's some people, including my uncle Jesse, there's nothing I can say to him. I don't really, how can I say this? I'm not going to spend my days pointing a finger at those that choose not to get vaccinated. But I am going to spend my days seriously not understanding how rolling back is going to necessarily help. Like, I just don't see it helping. And as a matter of fact, you even said it. It is truly unfair to these businesses right now.
It is. But I am upset more at the people who, and there are different buckets. And I actually heard a soundbite that I want to share, because we need to talk about how do you reach the people who are vaccine hesitant or just who haven't gotten it yet. And this is actually Dr. Leanna Wen, who spoke on this and makes a lot of sense.
There's a group that's truly anti-vax. They're anti-science. They may not be vaccinated. They're children. I actually don't think that that's the group that we should be targeting first. The group we should be targeting first are those who actually really want the vaccine, but just haven't had it because they have other things in their lives to worry about. They have work. Maybe they're working multiple jobs. They're taking care of elderly parents or young kids. We need to make it really easy for them to get the vaccine. I think we should be closing mass vaccination sites, redistributing vaccines to doctor's offices, pharmacies, getting pop-up clinics in churches, in schools, in workplaces. That's how we'll reach those people. Then there's that big middle. I think that's the group that you were referring to, Michael. People who have specific concerns about the vaccine. We need to address these concerns, ideally by people in their community who change their minds, who initially thought, I'm worried about these vaccines too, but here's what changed my mind. For those people to tell those stories and now show all these pictures of people reuniting with their families, going about their normal lives. I think we should do just like people did the vaccine selfie. I think we need to have selfies of people now going to bars and restaurants with other vaccinated people to show what a return to 2019 pre-pandemic life could really look like.
Okay. Did you hear? I thought her point two and point three were great. So point two being the mass vaccination sites, you know, like the Tacoma Dome. How many people do we hear from? I love the idea, but people aren't filling up the spots. So make it easier. Put them at the pharmacies. Put them at the doctor's offices.
You're right. That's what I'm saying. Like, Ursula, everything that you say, everything that comes out of your mouth, I'm agreeing with. Like, I don't disagree with you. There's only one thing. I only have one problem.
Yeah, and you don't like the rollbacks.
Because the rollbacks are, okay.
Okay, let's hope that the rollbacks are only for 3 weeks to get it to, so there's one metric. And you know what? I hate the rollbacks too, but I understand why they're happening. So instead of focusing on that, you and I arguing over it doesn't help anybody.
No. Well, no. I think that the powers that be, if they can us continuing to have this conversation, at some point, this is going to be selfish, but I got to say it. At some point, one of these decision makers are going to say, you know, maybe we are kind of being unfair to a very small percentage of this. Because when we roll back from 3 to 2, there's only gym owners, restaurants that are impacted by this. Everybody else is fine. So at some point, I hope that these decision makers say, maybe we should do this.
And
maybe
we should reopening. And you think it's bad here? Look at what's happening in Oregon, for goodness sake. But you know what? How bad it was in California? They're fully reopening in many spots, right? So it can happen. So that's the point. But I think the focus should be, how do we get the vaccines to the people who want them much easier? And these mass vaccination sites, they sound like a great idea, but again, they don't seem to be doing it now. And then the other part would be those of us like you and I. I mean, how many people have texted us or emailed us and said, I don't want an experimental vaccine put in my body? How many people have said that? That's a lot.
A lot of people.
So you and I could do a better job influencing if we said, you know what? You had some reservations initially and you got it. And what happened? Right?
Yeah. And one of the things that I said with Dave Ross, and I look, even though Dre's and I disagree on the vaccines, and you've heard he and I hash it out, there's one takeaway that I got to give Dre's that he really helped me on. Is how we are talking to those that don't want to get the vaccine, those that are scared to get the vaccine. I am choosing to do a better job in that. And still, both you and I will encourage that. No yes. question. I think what's happening between the two of us is when you and I discuss this, we go into what is going to help our country, which we both agree with, will be vaccines and continued increase in that. But I'm sorry, my yeah, but is this rolling back does not help. And these businesses are going to be more hurt in the process. And I almost feel like this. It's almost like why an analogy would be, Ursula, stopping me from going to earn and get a job and like, no, G, you can't have a job. I can't have the job, but you'd rather me go and get government assistance.
No, well, so, what I would rather do right now is get everything under control so we can have 100% reopening pre-pandemic 2019. That's how those businesses are going to make all the money back. And in the meantime, they should be fully supported. Yeah. Unfortunately, if the government's rolling them back, then they should be the first ones that get any kind of money and any kind of help plain and simple. But again, I go back to what can we do individually to help? And we're all not doing our fair share.
Number two.
Okay. I got to point this thing out, though, on the topic of vaccines. So there is a local high school near Port Townsend, Chimicum Junior Senior High School. And like many high schools, they require students to fulfill community service hours to graduate. But now, and this is actually coming from the Jason Rantz show, that the school is offering 25 hours towards the community service requirement for students who get the COVID vaccine and submit their paperwork proof. So you can know. As much as I am pro-vaccine, I'm thinking that this goes too far.
Too far. Too far. Again, I'm pro-vaccine, too. I think that you should get it. My youngest son, Zion, just got his second shot this past Friday.
And he's, what, 18?
And he's 18.
Yep. My 20-year-old's getting one this Friday.
Even with that being said, I'm disagreeing with this. What can we separate? School credits and vaccinations, please. Who thought that that was a good idea? What 2 to 3 members sat
together? Junior and senior high school.
Who was on the board, Ursula, that sat there and said, you know, Larry, you know what would be a good idea? What's that, Jim? What if we
I don't know.
Attach?
I don't even know that it went to the school board. Hold it. Okay, let me just give you more background. Just
okay,
so,
come
so
on.
We can be free.
Come on.
Fair. Excuse me.
Come
okay,
on.
So the principal, David Cartham, emailed this to Jason Rantz. We are providing our students with opportunities to improve their community in ways accessible to them given the circumstances of this pandemic. Vaccination is just one of the voluntary ways that students can choose to fulfill this requirement. We know that immunization helps protect our community, which is why we call it a service. Okay, text us 98973 or email us or send us a message on our Facebook. Do you agree with this or do you think this goes too far? For me, it goes too far because I would rather, if you're going to really try to convince people to get their vaccinations when they're that young, first of all, it needs to be something that their parents are cool with, A, and B, how about make them volunteer at a clinic instead of getting the vaccine? I mean, I would hope they would choose to get the vaccine, but don't put the premium on getting the vaccine. Do it for the community service hours.
Yeah. I don't know about this one, Ursula. This one, I think they dropped the ball on this. Do you think that they will continue to go forward with
well,
this?
We'll see.
Or,
we'll see.
Or do you do you think you will see another high school? Yes, we do.
We need to follow up and find out how many people have agreed to this. And you know, is it a popular option for the students? I know that as a parent in a Catholic school where the community service requirements are there too, I know that a lot of times they try to, at the end of the year, they try to make up all those hours. And I suppose it would be an easy way to do it. But is it the right thing? I feel like that is maybe too much coercion.
Number three.
Okay, we're going to lighten it up a lot. Do you know that the Seattle Kraken made their final payment of the $650 million expansion fee? And now that allows the hockey team to make trades and sign free agents. So they are now officially the NHL's 32nd hockey team. And that means GM Ron Francis can attend the general manager's meetings. And as you may or may not know, the expansion draft is set to take place in June. So they will be selecting one player from each presently existing club, except for Las Vegas. I'm learning all these new things. You excited?
No, I'm not. I really don't care about hockey. But tell the truth, keep it a buck. The reason why we're talking about this is because you're excited. And then I found out you're excited about all of this hockey and the Kraken, this is great. And by the way, don't get that wrong, guys. I'm just not going to fake it with you. I'm not going to say, oh my goodness, the Kraken, I can't wait. I mean, am I excited? I'm excited. Here's how I'm excited. I'm excited about the Kraken like I would be excited to go to the first day of a dance class, right? Like, there's a lot of things I don't know. Excuse me. There's everything that I don't know about hockey. I'm not knocking it. From what I hear it's a great sport. I hear it's even better to be there in person to see it. So I'm not knocking hockey. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you, tell you I'm excited. But I want to know why you're so excited, because you were talking about it this morning.
Yeah, a couple of reasons. One, and I'll be honest, I love their logo, their outfits. Their gear is just, I say, Kraken. So first of all, I love that.
I like that.
But I've been watching what's been going on at Northgate. Northgate became this desolate mall, and it was just pathetic, even though that was the mall that I went to for years and years and years and years. And now there's going to be that big practice facility. Then there's going to be other businesses and restaurants there. So it's going to completely revitalize that Northgate area. The idea of having a practice rink and a place where you can go ice skating. The reason I haven't been interested in ice hockey is because it's been kind of inaccessible. You have to go either to, is it Everett or for smaller teams. And I know in Canada, people are super passionate about hockey. And the Canadians cannot be wrong, can they? So, the other thing is my son was telling me, so he's going to be looking for a new apartment. And he said, I think I'm going to go to Lower Queen Anne, now known as Uptown. And he said, I'm so excited about hockey coming, and we'll be going to hockey games. Something new and exciting for, I mean, what do you think, Paul?
Yeah, I think it's super exciting. And honestly, when hockey picks back up, it might be something that is an even bigger celebration with more people getting allowed to be back, you know, depending on where we're at that point. But I'm excited. I mean, I don't have a big tie here, but I think that first night and that I think all the cool stuff they do with hockey intros and stuff, I think it can be really cool, and they can really bring a cool Pacific Northwest vibe to professional hockey.
And the other thing is, it's something that we can all celebrate no matter where you are on the political spectrum. It is all something that we can get happy about and excited about at a time when we've had so many things taken away. Here's something new that we can all enjoy.
Would I be lightening up? Would I light up the mood if I say, hey, what if the Kraken only allows you in if you've gotten the vaccine only?
Okay, don't start that rumor.
No, right. That's not true. That was just me putting a what if they did that. Again, that's not true. Coming up next, no sit, no lie. That law happened in Everett. Find out what's going on with that. We do that next. It's G and Ursula.
Thanks for hanging out with us on the G and Ursula Show, Monday morning edition. Several weeks ago now, we told you about the Everett City Council passing a controversial no-sit, no-lie ordinance. This is impacting a 10-block zone that has long been the epicenter of Everett's homelessness crisis. And there were quite a few public hearings where people spoke on both sides of the issue.
For there to be a shelter possible, but for it to be connected with criminalizing people that need help is disgusting and disturbing.
As an employer, I have had a lot of experience with cleaning up around our building. They dump garbage all over the place.
But despite the pushback from some, on March 17th, the city council voted 5-1 to approve this ordinance, but then delayed enforcement until some other housing is going to be available in a pallet village later this summer. So get this, though, and this is from the Everett Herald this morning. The law has yet to take effect, but apparently it already seems to be having a dramatic impact. Most of the dozens of people who made their homes under that I-5 overpass on Smith Avenue have apparently moved on. Are you still there, G?
Sorry about that. I accidentally hit a mute button. I apologize. That's good news, right? That they, I don't know why they decided. Maybe did someone let them know about the news? Like, hey, just so you guys know, there's an ordinance that's going to be happening, and you're going to have to leave.
Yeah, they knew about it, and yeah. There was an education process. Again, they weren't going to enforce it. And so police were asked, have you been enforcing anything or telling people? And they said, absolutely not. They say it's as much a surprise to them as anyone else. So it may have just been the fact that they've said, okay, starting such and such time, you will no longer be allowed to be here, but we are going to be providing you some alternatives. And there were 20 or so people living in those tents under that overpass, and many of them moved along. Many of them have agreed to some of the other housing available. So my question is,
what do you got?
Is this the way to do it? Would this work? And this is something that's very similar to what they're talking about in Auburn and in, was it Federal Way or Kent? But in any case, some other South King County cities are looking at the same thing, but Seattle is not.
We talked about this, Ursula, when it was first reported that Everett was going to be doing this. And I was in favor. And if I remember right, you were in favor. We talked to the mayor of Auburn down there. We talked to her down there, what's going on. So going forward in the future, I do predict that we will have more of these, because right now, Ursula, where homeless encampments are allowed to be, I don't know the rules on that. And the reason why I'm bringing that up,
in the city of Seattle, they're pretty much allowed to be anywhere.
Well, I was down in Tacoma, and I was in some neighborhoods, and I didn't take a picture because I felt like me taking a picture I just didn't feel comfortable taking a picture and posting it. But what's the rules on an encampment being in front of like homes and houses and things? Like, this was an actual city block where the encampment was all in front of the homes. And I was thinking to myself, and matter of fact, if I was living right there, I personally would have a problem with the homeless encampment being outside of my home. Now, y'all want to be mad at me for saying that? Then I don't know what to tell you. But I'm telling you right now, I would be upset about that. I would be very uncomfortable with that setting, especially considering I know how much money comes out and I pay once a month. Okay. And I'm not just saying
and
me.
Guess what? That's how businesses have felt. That's how businesses have felt in Everett. That's how so many are feeling in the city of Seattle. You say you'd feel badly. That's what's happening right in front of my mom's condo. The camp, again, I want to go and talk to the people who live there. And to be honest, last week I considered it and I looked and it was a bright sunny day. And I was thinking, do I feel comfortable? I was by myself. And I thought, that's probably foolish, because I don't know what would happen. I mean, it could be a perfectly great experience. And again, I'm not trying to criminalize the homeless or talk badly about them, but I don't think what they're doing right now in Seattle, it's clearly not working, and it looks so unhealthy. It looked like there was a bike chop shop. There were just parts of bikes all over the place right outside my mom's condo. She doesn't feel comfortable walking or parking anywhere close to that. But I look at what's happening in Everett. They haven't even started enforcing this law, and they've already moved on.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe this might be something for the future. You know, speaking of that, you just talked about.
Actually, Paul wants to pop on real quick.
Sorry. I was just. One thing that was interesting about the story was part of the law will outlaw anybody from providing food, goods, supplies, or services in that zone without a permit for the city. So I was curious what your guys' thoughts were on that.
That was the part we did not like. But, you know, then again, if you keep providing services, what's the incentive to move? So as long as you give them a better place to live, which is, it sounds like that's what they were trying to do in Everett, and it seems to be working, maybe that's the answer.
Yeah, I didn't. At first, Ursula, when we first we talked about this, both you and I were on that same. We're like, oh, we don't like this. But then after thinking about it and after reviewing the thoughts in my mind going on then, I changed my course and stance. If you want to help someone and you want to provide them with blankets and food and all of those things, you just can't do it in that area. And there's a reason for that. And so therefore, wherever you do it, then they might come over to that area and get some of those supplies and services. So, yeah, I'm okay with that rule staying in place. And one last thing I want to ask you, Ursula. Back to the homeless encampment being in front of homes like I saw over the weekend. Do you think that some of these mayors or city council men or women, do you think if they had a homeless encampment in front of their homes, how long do you think that that would last there?
Not very long. I have yet to hear of any council member who has a big encampment in front of their house.
As a matter of fact, if we're wrong, we totally could be wrong. And if they're out there, I would like to know about it.
Yeah.
And like you said, and then, by the way, one last thing, as far as your mom, that has to scare you sometime, knowing that your mom is right there.
Well, it does. I mean, it scares me for all the elderly people. Well, and I just say elderly because I don't know. I know that if something were to happen, my mom would not be able to fend for herself. Right? So she doesn't feel comfortable walking out past dark, parking anywhere close to there. Parking is already a premium. We're talking just north of the U District. And this, it has gone unabated. It has grown. It has grown tremendously. It went from a couple of tents to it's filling up the entire area across from Cowan Park, a whole big grassy area of like that separates a street. I don't know what you call it. Like it's right. Bigger than a parking strip, much bigger.
Coming up next in scenarios, here's a question. Should you have to give your engagement ring back to your fiance's family if he passed away before you got married? This is going to be a tough one. And of course, Ursula, she's going to have all the right answers for us. You guys are listening to the G and Ursula Show. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Monday to all of you. Coming up next at 11:06, we'll have Agree to Disagree. But right now, it's time for scenarios brought to you by Farrah.com.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Full transparency, this is a scenario that our good friend Ursula found on her off time, which is TikTok. You know, Ursula spends a lot of time on TikTok, but this is a good one. I think we should all hear. Ursula, you want to play that?
Yeah, absolutely.
My fiance and I are high school sweethearts, and we've been together for about 12 years. We were engaged for around 3 when he passed away due to an accident in the beginning of 2020. A few weeks ago, his brother came to visit me, and he's planning to propose to his girlfriend. He asked me if he could have the family's engagement ring. The ring my fiance gave me is a family ring which had been in the family for generations. I have been wearing this ring for almost 3 years, and it's a symbol of our relationship. I don't feel ready to give it up. When I told him this, he got upset and said it's a family ring and it belongs to him now that his brother is dead. I told him to get out. I called his mom to let her know why I wanted to keep the ring. She told me she wouldn't have minded if I had been married to him, but I wasn't, so I'm not part of the family, and therefore I should return the ring. She said I'll move on one day, and it's unfair to hold on to a ring that I will never wear again, especially a ring that belongs to her family for generations. I would have at least considered giving back the ring in a few years. I just can't bear the thought of parting with this ring now. So I told her I'm sorry that she felt that way, but her son gave me this ring, and I'm not giving it back. Since then, his mom and his brother have been spamming my phone with messages and calls about how I'm trying to steal their family ring. So, am I wrong for wanting to keep the ring?
Okay, I know the cadence of her voice is a little distracting, but you
TikTok
get...
TikTok is so fast.
I know, because you only have a minute to get it. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, G, I'm going to turn the table and have you start. What do you think? Should she return the ring to the family, or should she be able to keep it?
she should absolutely return the ring to the family. It is the right thing to do. My opinion on engagement rings is quite simple, and it should be a rule all across the board. Once the engagement ring is purchased, whoever it is wearing it, if there is not a certificate of marriage or there is no wedding, no marriage happened, it was not put on a marriage certificate, then that ring goes back to the person that purchased it. In this case, goes back to the family.
Okay, there are some scenarios where I would agree with you, but I want to go through a couple of the facts on this. So they had been dating for 10 years. They were engaged to get married. Her fiance gave it to her with the intent to marry her. And yes, it was a family ring, but imagine if he were still alive. Do you think he would say, okay, pull it off your finger and give it back to my family? Because
Yes, he would. As a matter of fact, he would.
I'm not so sure.
Is this selfish behavior?
If it were me, I probably would, just because I wouldn't want to have bad blood. But I also think that this family is not being cool. What? To now blast her on social media and the way they did it, well, you know, he's dead now, so give it, you know, cough it back up. It has sentimental value for it. I don't even know that it has. But, you know, that is something that he gave to her. If I were the family, I would have maybe said, hey, you know, that is a family heirloom, and we really wanted it to come, you know, be something given to a daughter-in-law. And would you be willing to, could we give you something of his that would also be of great sentimental value to you? But I don't think it's so cut and dry.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. This woman is very selfish. I mean, it's been in the family for generations. What else do you need? Why would you want to go forth and keep this ring? Just do the
memory of your loved one who you had no expectation that he would die before you would get married.
But
I'm guessing I'm in the minority on this. But what do you think, Paul? Just real quick.
I don't know. I think she should be allowed. This was given to her. It was supposed to be her ring. I mean, she has to be allowed to have her emotions and thought process through losing her partner for 10 years. And I get it's a family heirloom, and maybe that discussion should keep going, but not right after the fact. She should be able to grieve. And I mean, what bigger symbol of their future is there left other than that ring right now?
Right.
Right.
Now it's become ugly. And I guarantee you that the son did not want that to happen.
No. And I don't think it was supposed to be, you know, heirlooms are tricky. I get that. It's been in the family for generations, but she was given that ring to keep that tradition alive.
They wouldn't have gotten it back anyway.
So should she? So does that mean she's not going to marry anybody the rest of her life?
I think if she ends up getting married to somebody else, maybe at that time she can say, okay.
Or she's seeing someone.
Or start seeing someone. But don't pry it away from her finger.
Yeah. I think she needs time to. I think there's got to be a time where she can. She's got to heal. She's got to process.
Hey, you know what, Ursula? You know what this reminds me of? First of all, I'm mad at the both of you.
I'm laughing because I'm guessing that Paul and I are probably in the minority. Tell me, am I wrong?
Yeah, well, yeah, you're kind of in the minority on this, but that's all right. But I will say, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of if I lend you money, I shouldn't have to ask for it back. Simple. Same thing with the ring. The family shouldn't have to ask for the ring back. Give it back. Coming up next, we do agree to disagree. It's Gene Ursula.